Got a message this morning for you. It's called Cold as Ice. Can you say that with me? Cold as ice. Don't raise a hand, but have you ever been to a church that was cold as ice? Don't say anything. But no, cold as ice. That's the title of the message. Come on, you coming out here? Come on, help me. Uh-oh. You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take advice, and someday you'll pay the price. I know, I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door, you leave the world behind. You're digging for gold, you're throwing away a fortune in feelings, but someday you'll pay. Someday you'll pay the price. I know, I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door, you leave the world behind. You're digging for gold, you're throwing away a fortune of feelings, but someday you'll pay. Hey, we ain't foreigner, but anyway, cold as ice, the message today, we're going to go with it right now. Satan, one of the inside jobs that he does on churches that he wants to do is to make a church cold as ice. People do not want to go to a church that is cold as ice. Are you hearing me today? And Satan would love it for this place, Fellowship Church, to lose its creativity, its fun, its encouragement. He would love it to be a house full of folks where we judged and said everything that somebody did is wrong, and I can't believe you do that. He wants it to be that kind of place. Cold as ice, cold as ice. Looking down our nose at other folks. He has so many creative ways and clever ways for us to become a cold church. I don't want to be a cold church. Amen. Guess what? We ain't going to be. Can we praise the Lord this morning? Ain't going to be. Ain't happening. Okay? It ain't happening. I mean, if we're cold, I'm really going to look weird up here. Yay, you know. So you may as well stay with us, amen? And be excited about what God is doing. Let's look at the message this morning. Cold as ice. I tell you what, frostbite, it doesn't just happen to people. Look at that. This isn't something made up. This is real pictures here. Frostbite, it doesn't just happen to people, friend. It happens to churches. Just imagine God looks at churches, and when he looks at them, that's what he sees. That's a horrible picture, isn't it? I don't want him to see that when he looks at Fellowship Church. I want when he looks at us, he sees blood flowing. Amen. Hallelujah. He sees good colored flesh and all that kind of good stuff. Amen. And things are working. That's what we want him to see when he looks at Fellowship Church. Let's go with the message. Cold as ice. We started this little series about 5 weeks ago. Have one more message in this series. And we use the book of 1 Corinthians because this was a church with problems. It was a church that was divided. They said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos. Well, I'm of Christ. And they were divided. There was gossip going on, talking about people, behind people's backs, about what people were doing. Gossip, horrible thing in the church. We talked about that. There was sexual immorality in the church at Corinth. Remember, some guy was having a sexual relationship with his stepmother, right in the Bible. Tell you, you ought to read the Bible. Surprise you sometimes. And the church said, well, we're open-minded. It doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter that you're pure. It does matter that you're holy. It does matter. If you want to have a relationship with God, it matters. You can't earn God's love. He died on the cross, Jesus did for you. He loves you. But when you name the name of Christ, the deal is, amen, that you're a disciple of His, that you're a follower of Christ. Following Christ means I'm going to try to live as would please Jesus Christ. And a church can be absolutely destroyed by sexual immorality. Let's look at something else we saw. What's some other things? What did we talk about last week? We talked about money last week. And this church had a problem with money and how they gave money. And they didn't support their ministers, their staff, and also they bragged that they were going to do something big for people, and they didn't honor it. They didn't do it. And they were a church with some real money. So a lot of problems in this church. Well, here's one. They were cold as ice. They're cold as ice. And Paul deals with that today. So I hope you all are with me. And let's go right now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. Then we're going to go in that great chapter, the love chapter of your Bible. It's called 1 Corinthians 13. It's just a beautiful passage. We're going to see it this morning. Verse 25. That there should be no schism. Can you say schism with me? Schism. What's schism mean? It means divisions. It means being divided. A church that's divided or a house that's divided against itself will not stand. We need to be in unity. Understand? That'll kill a church. That'll cause a church to go cold quick, man. That there be no schism in the body of Christ, but that members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gift. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I'll read that verse one more time. Verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. If you could know an okay way, a good way, a better way, the best way, an excellent way, which one would you want to know? I'd want to know the excellent way, wouldn't you say? And a lot of churches are content not knowing the excellent way or not following the excellent way, and therefore they get cold, and God takes His Spirit away, and they certainly aren't being effective as they can be, and we want to be that kind of church that can be effective. Let's keep looking. We read several verses here, and I'm just going to highlight a couple, and then we're moving somewhere. It says that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no schism or division in church, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There should be care for one another in this church. This should be a caring place. Are you hearing me say? A lot of people go to church, they won't come back because it seems like nobody, what? Cared! You know? Went to a church, it was a good church. When I was on vacation this summer in Vail, Colorado, it was a good church. A lot of good things about the church. But honestly, you know, nobody spoke to us, and not that we're anything. We were not dressed. We were just us. That's all we were. We weren't trying to get any favors. We weren't trying to be special, but it would have been nice if we'd got a handshake. Are you hearing me say? You might like to go to church and not shake hands. Well, guess what? You need to get over that. Amen? We're still growing, friend. We're still growing, man. We need to, you know, as far as in our spiritual lives, if we weren't used to doing something, that's okay. Grow. Do it. But we need to have care one for another. And that shows up in a lot of ways. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. We're going to see that today. And then he says, I show you a more excellent way. And we're going to look at that more excellent way. What I believe the secret to making a church hot for Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Many churches today are cold as ice. Why? Well, we just saw it. We just saw the verses, but they're cold as ice. Pop them up, Raj. They're full of divisions. You walk in the door and you can cut it with a knife. You can feel it. Now, maybe you can't feel it. Maybe it's because this is what I've done with my life. But it's amazing the number of pastors, board members, people in this community over the last couple of 3 years that have called me personally with problems, struggles in their church. Talked to a guy just yesterday, struggles in his church. It's just the way it is. That'll make a church cold. That's why they are cold, many of them. Next, they lack genuine compassion for people. Genuine compassion. Listen, if you're a greeter here and you're helping here, but you're not genuinely compassionate and genuinely caring at what you're doing, then just tell me after the service today that you quit. I'd rather you be genuine about your caring for people. Amen? I'm not saying that sometimes we don't have pressures, pains in our life, and we still persevere and do our jobs for Jesus. I understand that, but you know what I'm talking about. If we're not genuinely compassionate as we shake hands, hug necks, reach out to people, touch people, friend, then you need to get another job. You know what I mean? We need to be genuine because people can feel it. Can you feel it? Say. You tell somebody's genuine, you know what I mean? That's why almost every Sunday I pray, Lord, help us to be sincere. Help us to be honest. We're our own worst enemies because we can get in a rut and not be sincere and not try to reach people, care for people like we should. And I can preach that way, and I don't want to preach like that. Number three, churches are cold because they don't keep the main thing the main thing. They get off on these little tangents. They don't seek earnestly the best gifts. They don't seek that excellent way, and that's our next point. They're content with mediocrity. Well, that's the way grandma did it. Well, you know, grandma's gone. Amen? And grandma's with Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grandma made it. This is a different time. This is a different culture. We are different people. We have to be creative. We don't sell out on the Bible, but we can certainly be creative. Let me tell you something. 4 years ago, would Gary Clark have sung right before the message, cold as ice! Willing to sacrifice our love. No, I wouldn't have. But I tell you what, and that's not to put it in the face of my former ministry. I'm just saying, I just feel freed up, honestly. I feel freed up. I feel freed up to be me. And me is not going to be perfect for everybody or right for everybody in Inglewood. I know that. But I would rather be me, led by the Holy Spirit than try to be somebody I'm not. Are you hearing me today? And I don't want to be full of mediocrity. I don't want to look back and say, you know, after my ministry, in about 21 years, 22 years, I'd like to see that I'm changing. I'd like to see that I'm growing. I'd like to see, because the preacher's still got to be encouraged too, you know. I still got to be happy too. I like to keep seeing myself grow and change and move and do things for the Lord a little bit differently as led by His Spirit. So churches are cold. Let's look at it. Three reasons churches become cold as ice. And we go to this classic passage in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. It's a chapter many of us have memorized. We should memorize it. It's an awesome chapter on love. Number one, why churches are cold. This is Clark trying to talk a little bit today, but it's also the Bible. Well, here we go. Number one reason that churches are cold. Can you say that with me? Because talk is, one more time, because talk is. Now, what do I mean? Look at the Bible. Talk is cheap. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. A lot of churches are cold or nice because talk is cheap, my friend. What do I mean by that? Pop it up. Let me say this to you. Somebody here in the building might come up to me and say, I talk in tongues. Here's what I'm going to say to you. Pop it up. My question is, how do you talk to people? Are you hearing me today? I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just trying to say, a lot of churches are cold, and it's not that we need an emotional high, my friend. We need people that are loving people, that are talking to people. God gave you your tongue, friend, to talk to people about Jesus Christ, to encourage people, to lift people. So often our tongue is used for cutting. That's why churches are cold. But our tongue is to talk to folk. Are you hearing me today? And I know our tongue is to praise the Lord. I know our tongue is to pray to God. I understand that. But I believe the main reason God gave you your tongue is to talk to folk. Pop it up, Raj. What you say with your mouth to men, women, boys, and girls matters most. What you say with your mouth to people on this planet matters most. If we're going to reach people, if we're going to have a church that's alive. So many, talk is cheap. Here we go. Religious speak is cheap. We can say amen, we can raise a hand, and nothing wrong with that. All those are good things. I say amen and raise hands all the time. But I'm saying, if we're not careful, churches can become a place. I hope you're listening with me. You with me? Churches can become a place where we have these little phrases, these little catchphrases in our little religious speak. And we talk real religious on Sunday and then live like the devil on Monday. But we got our little religious talk. Yes, sir, brother, so and so, amen. Listen, religious speak is cheap. We need to talk to people. Here's how you do it. Just be you. Be honest. Be sincere. If people can come on this campus and can feel that Fellowship Church is real and they're just regular folk just like them and not trying to put on airs and look how good I can talk religiously, man. It'll make a difference. It will work, my friend. It just speak is cheap. It's not real. Pop it up. It's not caring. It's not going the extra mile. You want a church to be a hot church and not a cold church, go the extra mile. Okay? That's why so often when you're at this place, try not to just come in here and run out the door. Come in here. As you walk out, talk to somebody, hug somebody, tell somebody how you're doing. If you got somebody that you know is coming here and you hadn't talked to them in a week or two, why in the world is that the case? Get up over here and go there and talk to them. Care for them. You've got to go the extra mile if you're going to have a church that's hot. You got to. We just got to. You know what I mean? And we're not there yet. We can do so much better than we're doing. Okay? Listen, next thing is this. It's not making the extra effort. Religious speak is cheap. It doesn't make the extra effort. We need to make the extra effort. If you want to be a hot church, you got to make that extra effort. And it might look crazy, man. We're doing these little footballs. If we were only doing footballs, I'd go, that ain't too hot, too bright. But it's just one of many things, from a parade to quite frankly, our home, Joy and I, we open up our home. Why? To look like, come see our fancy house. No, we open up our home to show people we care. And not to put other people down, but I doubt there are many preachers that open up their home to 200 or 300, 400 people every once in a while like we do. Why do we do that? Because the Lord gave us that, amen? And we care for people, and we care for this ministry, and we want to see it grow to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. So, not putting us up, it's just common sense to me. Cold as ice. So, number one, talk is cheap. That's why churches are cold. Number two, and we're getting somewhere, so don't fade on me. Number two, because of information overload. Can you say that right there? Because of information overload. Now, I know I tend to talk a little long. Okay, can we get an amen? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Loving people. Yeah. But at least I use graphics. Amen. All right, stuff like that. Here we go. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not necessarily talking about long talking. I'm talking about information overload. Listen to what the Bible says. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I can understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, say it with me, I am nothing. Okay? We need more than information here at Fellowship Church. Well, I studied this. I went to this seminary. I did this. I read this book recently. You know, that's all good. Might help you. That's fine. We need to have a little more than just information overload to reach people and to keep your church alive. What am I talking about? Knowledge and wisdom is to be shared. We need to share knowledge and wisdom with one another. You that are having home fellowships in your home tonight, you need to not make it a time of information overload. It needs to be a time of sharing. It needs to be a time of communicating, and when you're communicating among each other, and keep it lively, keep it interesting. You can take one of those groups many times and you can bore people to tears and then blame it on the church. Why it died. Listen, share your wisdom, share your knowledge. Okay, that's what it's to be. It's not to be stored up. If we become a church where we just read and we just study and we just keep it all to ourselves, the church will get cold. It'll die. Number two, it's not to be shoved down. When we have knowledge, when we have wisdom, we have understanding, we're not to take it and shove it down people's throat. They ain't going to want it, are they? They're going to throw it back up on you. You know what I'm saying? That's not what it's about. A lot of churches are dying. They're preaching like hell's on fire. I understand that. We preached hell a few weeks ago, remember? You know what I mean? But still, it's a shove down thing. And I can be guilty of that. That's not what I want, though. We're not to shove stuff down people's throats. Information overload. This is another one. I think a lot of churches are cold because they're stoical. Stoical. What do I mean? No emotion, no passion. I think churches ought to have emotion and passion. Y'all with me? Amen, say. You ought to have emotion and passion. It's good when the preacher's preaching. Amen. That's good. All right. I like it here every once in a while. We'll say something. You'll clap. Amen. Why? Because I could use a little encouragement too. Well, you don't need, that's not the way we did it. So what? Who cares? Listen, friend, we want to be a church that's hot, not dead as a hammer. Amen? Got to have enthusiasm, passion. Anything that you're doing for the Lord, you ought to do it that way. Why not? Good grief, you ought to see me at a ball game. Amen? Isn't that right? When I'm at Lemon Bay's game, you really don't want to be with me on Monday night when the Vikings play. I love the Vikings, but, you know, who knows what I might turn into. But, no, I get excited. Why? Because I want to be a person of passion, enthusiasm, but certainly I want to be passionate about Fellowship Church. I went out yesterday through the community doing different things, got my car washed there and doing the car wash, and I know the folks there, and I come in, I meet two people. One's been to Fellowship, one wants to come to Fellowship. Amen? That's exciting to me. I went somewhere else, forget where it was, and went to the hospital. And a lady at the desk, running the desk, she said to me, I just want to compliment you, sir. And I went, oh, Lord, help us. And she said, I was at your Christmas Eve program last year, and your people there were so phenomenal, the singers and the way they did things. Wow. Well, you can't do something like that unless you have passion. Amen? Singers that sing, people that do. I mean, if you're outside doing, whatever you're doing, should be passionate. Our message is supposed to help people here. Y'all hearing me say? Messages are supposed to help people. Number two. They need to be understood. That's why we preach the way we preach. That's why we use the screen. This isn't the way I always preach. I always preach, just open the Bible, and that's what I did. But this is something we can use, and it can help people better understand. Why wouldn't we do it? They need to be real to life. Messages that we preach. When you're sharing with somebody yourself, you need to share with real life experiences. Not pie in the sky, by and by. We need where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Cookies on the bottom shelf. So people can get them. Churches are cold because they're not. I've got a new ad that runs on a few radio stations now, and it says this. Do you have a clue what the preacher was talking about Sunday? And then I go, at Fellowship Church, we try to shoot straight and be honest and tell it to you like it is. You know what I mean? Because I think that's important. You know? Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, go, got the cheer section out there. Amen. Well, the quarterback's up there, and he's just really excited. You can't help it. Amen. You just can't help it. Amen. Amen. Anyway, don't miss this. Information overload. Listen, we need to share things. We need to share them in creative ways and things like that, but they need to be biblical. A lot of churches are cold as ice today, my friend. It's not that they're not trying to be creative and things like this. They've sold out the Bible. They've sold out the Bible. And they've got such a big open mind that they've lost sight of what the Word of God says. And you can have a lot of people in the church, my friend. But the story's not over. The story's not been written. Only eternity will tell what some ministry really did in the big scheme of things. Don't sell out. We need to be biblical when we're teaching here. Caution. A lot of times we teach and we say this, well, His Word won't return void, bless God. That's Isaiah 55:11. Isaiah 55:11 says His Word will accomplish what it's supposed to. It will not return void. That is true. What the Bible does say that. But we can use that as a cop-out for being lazy, sorry, not trying hard, and just say, well, His Word won't return void. Well, I've heard a lot of preaching that just didn't do too much. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of Bible teaching. So we don't want to use that as a cop-out. Pop that last line up right here. Creativity and enthusiasm is huge if you want to keep a church hot. Are you hearing me? That's important. And not that we're doing everything we need to do. We've just scratched the surface. We can do so much more and can do so much better. The last reason I popped up today Because of dead sacrifice. Can you say that with me? Because of dead. You know any churches just going through the motions? Say. Going through the motions. Doing what we've always done. Well, I got to be there. I got to do what I've always done. Sometimes we can run organizations and they're cold and they're dead because our sacrifice is dead. Here's what the Bible says. Look at it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, who would do that? And have not love, it profits me nothing. What's the point? Dead sacrifice doesn't work. A couple of things. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Help me here. Living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Giving without love is cruel and weird. Now, don't you think that through? I'm talking about a dead sacrifice. We can give to God's work and it not affect us. We can put money in an offering plate and it's just something we do because it's something we do. We can do a service for God, for a church, and it's something we do just because it's something we do. I want to tell you something, friend. When we give without love, it is cruel. Pop it back up. It's cruel and weird. Here's what I mean. If somebody hates your guts, listen to me. If somebody hates your guts and they bring you a little gift, I'm probably going to hit them with a gift. No, I ain't. But what would you rather have from that person who has wronged you or who hates you? And this isn't coming from a heart of real compassion. They're just giving you something to make some kind of show. You'd much rather have what from them? An apology. Amen? Say. Keep your stuff. Let's just get the relationship fixed, okay? I had someone give a gift one time. I didn't think I was going to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I had somebody give a gift to my wife one time. They actually brought the gift, dropped it off the house, and they brought us a little thing. And let me tell you something. The real horrible relationship here. And the gift was so chintzy and pitiful. It was just pitiful. I wouldn't even have wrapped up some mess like that, quite frankly. But anyway, come on. Listen to me. I said I shouldn't have said it. But you know what? You know what? I didn't even give the gift to my wife. She wasn't home. I didn't even give it to her. I took it and threw it in the trash. Because I knew my wife would have much rather have had an apology. But let me tell you, it gets worse. Later on, they wrote some nasty letter about us trying to get my wife fired. Yeah! And guess what? They said, I brought her a gift and all this kind of stuff. They just gave a gift, friend, so they could hold it over our head and write an old ugly letter one day. Do you know where you know what I call that? I call that just stupid, quite frankly. It is cruel and it is rude when our sacrifice is dead. Is anybody hearing the message today or not? And a lot of churches are cold because it's those motions and just... And listen, you know, this is a bigger picture here. This is spiritual stuff we're doing. God sees our heart. Keep looking. Sacrifice without sincerity is dead. If we give things and we are not sincere in our heart when we give them, it is dead. And we need to be sincere when we give. We give to God's work. When we do a job for God, that makes a church alive. It does nothing for you that is of lasting significance. When you and I give something and it wasn't done from the right heart attitude, it's no good for eternity. God just goes, you know what God does? Here's what He does. He throws it in the trash. Doesn't matter. Keep looking. Listen to Jesus. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we bring you a gift? Have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Get out of here. Depart from me. That's some pretty strong talk, isn't it? Dead sacrifice. Look at what Paul said to the Corinthian church. Verse 13, chapter 3. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. There's going to be a reckoning day one day, and our dead works are going to be, say it with me if you know it, wood, hay, and what? Stubble. Works that are given out of a genuine heart, sacrifice that's given, because we're honest, because we love the Lord, we want to do the right thing, it's going to be what? Gold, silver, and what's the last one? precious stone. That's why a lot of churches are cold as ice. We're just giving and we're doing, and it's deader than a hammer. Now, this is where I want to take us, and it won't take long. This is good stuff right here. Love makes a church hot. Can you say that with me? Love makes a church hot. Help me one more time. Love makes a church hot. Can you feel it when you walk into churches full of love? Say. Feel it. Somebody loves you. You know how you feel love a lot of times? Somebody reached out to you. Somebody looked you in the eyeball, didn't look at you shifty-eyed. You know what I'm saying? You know, or they see you come and they like, you know what I mean? Love, my friend. Love makes a church hot. You got to show love. If you want a hot church, you got to show love. You got to do love. Love's got to be there, man. Let's look at it. That's what the Bible says. Fellowship church should be a place where, and we're just going to list it right fast. Look at what the Bible says. Fellowship church should be a place where. Watch it. Look at it. Pop the verse up. Love suffers long. Fellowship should be a place where we're long-suffering. It is kind. Fellowship church should be a place where we are kind. Okay? I know I get a little ugly sometimes, but don't y'all do it. Here we go. Amen? Where we're kind, amen. Look at this one. Love envieth not. We're happy for others' successes. I've known several Christians, I hate to say it, I've known several Christians, so-called, that when somebody else gets a blessing, they get mad. You ever met anybody like that? Say, you get a blessing and they get mad because they didn't get the blessing. Well, I wouldn't give you a blessing neither. I'm telling you, when somebody gets a promotion or somebody gets blessed or somebody gets a new house or somebody makes a big sale or a football team wins a big game, we ought to rejoice with them. That's a church that's doing, I mean, that's just normal, friend. We are happy at other people's successes. And you might think that is so elementary, but that kills churches. When somebody has something good happen to them, and A, we don't celebrate with them, or B, we make them feel bad because something good happened to them. I've had people come to me over the years who've been blessed financially, and their family really dislikes them because they've got stuff, and the other people in the family don't have as much. And actually, it can turn ugly, and the other family wants what you got, man. Crazy, crazy stuff. Come on. Look at it. Vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Fellowship should be a place where we're big on God. Big on God. Not big on the preacher, not big on the people. We're big on Him. We don't vaunt ourselves up. No, sir, huh? We hit the floor. We stay low. He's big. God loves getting all the glory. That's it. He loves it. He's big on Him. He ain't big on you and me. He just ain't. Okay? Next verse. Fellowship should be a place where it doth not behave itself unseemly, where we're a blessing to the Lord. Fellowship should be a place right now today. I hope in heaven there's a sacrifice, a sweet smell going up to the throne of God. I can't understand it, but I hope today He is saying, that place is a blessing to me. They are blessing me. They are blessing my name today. You know, through the singing, through the preaching, through the fellowship, and through the love. Seeks not her own. We are to seek to please the Lord at Fellowship Church. If we want to be a church that's hot, we don't seek what we want, we seek what He wants. Amen? That's how you have a church that's hot. Is not easily provoked. We should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Can you say that with me? We should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If you're always flying off the handle, if you've always got to have it your way, if you're meaner than a snake, listen to me. Not controlled of the Holy Spirit, that'll kill a church. Let's just do a quick hand thing, right quick. How many have met some really mean people in church? Let's go, come on. Yeah. Isn't that sad? We want you, if you're mean here, listen to me. We want you to change. Amen? We want you to change. We want you to grow. We don't need folks being mean. A lot of times I've been in churches before, they're always harping against the teens, always harping against the children. Well, you know what? If we want a senior citizens club, there's a lot of them around here. If you want a church where there's kids, where there's young people, guess what? They make mistakes. They do things wrong. They're called sinners. They hadn't quite arrived to where you're at yet. We need to love them. Amen? Say, y'all with me? I know this is ugly. If we want a hot church. Some churches are so content that they don't have one child there at all. Boy, I ain't content. I tell you what, if it gets to the place where we don't have any children here, Clark ain't going to be here either. I'm history. I need children in my life. I need young people. I look at this row right here, these guys right here. Y'all do something to me. You just bless me today. I look up here and see these kids. I look over here and see young people. It blesses me. It blesses me. It makes me think maybe our country isn't going to hell in a handbasket like I thought it was. Maybe we still got a fighting chance. Amen? It's a blessing for crying out loud. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys. Listen, I've got to go. I got to go. Here we go. Thinks no evil. We are positive. We are positive. A hot church needs to be a positive church. If you want to focus the negative, you can see the negative. I've had to work on this in my life. My wife gave me a verse that's still in my office. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, hard-headed husband of mine, think on these things. Think positive. Think that our church can grow. Think that we can reach people. Think that we're going to do something. Think that we're going to build a facility down in Rotunda. Think it. See it. Believe it. Think like that. Well, we'll just never get it done. Well, you know what? It might take a little while. But don't come up and talk to me like that. Amen? I don't even like to hear negative stuff on Sunday. I just don't. Tell me Monday, because I'm already down anyway on Monday. Amen? I'm wore out. Amen? But come on, be positive for crying out loud. Rejoice is not in iniquity. We rejoice in godly things. Rejoice is in the truth. We rejoice in the truth of God's word. We rejoice in telling the truth and other people being people of truth. That's what we rejoice in. Listen, we're not going to rejoice at you being a crook, that you being a sneak, you being a liar. We ain't going to rejoice in that. That's going to break my heart is what it's going to be. But I rejoice even if it cost you when you did the right thing and you stood for truth. We rejoice in that. That's what makes a church a good church, I think. Bears all things. We're overcomers. Can you say that? We're overcomers. People are hurting. They come in here, they need to know they're in a crowd of overcomers. Believes all things. We're believers. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe the Bible. So many churches are cold because you go in there and they don't tell you what they believe anymore. They don't believe anything anymore. We need to be believers here. People don't like being with believers. That's a problem because we're believers. Amen? Believers. Also, we believe in other people. Believe in them. Try to encourage them. Hopes all things. We're hopeful. Endures all things. We are courageous and never lose heart. How many have had a... How many, let's just see a hand. How many of you have had in the last 12 months, you've had something really rough happen in your life? It's been hard. Okay, look at that. Hold them up and just let us look around. Look at that. See? That's who you're surrounded with today, people. You're surrounded with people that are hurting, people that have some struggles. Listen, this place should be a place where we never lose heart. Amen? There are people that come here that need you to keep that light burning, baby, because theirs is about gone out. You know what I mean? And we need to be that kind of place. If you go into a place as cold as ice, man, that's like an ice pick in them. They don't need that. They need to be warmed. Here they are again. We're long-suffering, kind, happy for other success, big on God. We're a blessing to the Lord. We seek to please the Lord. We're controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're positive. We rejoice in good and godly things. We rejoice in the truth. We're overcomers. We're believers. We're hopeful, and hallelujah, we're courageous and never lose heart. Let's praise the Lord for that right there. Come on.